Blog Talk Radio.
Show where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Wednesday, May 2nd, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and, of course, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro. Nurturing life. If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month. I can't believe it's already May. where in the world has this year gone? I mean, it's already May. Next thing you know, it'll be, I don't know, Christmas maybe? May, and before you know it, we'll be celebrating a new year. So, but we've got a great show, being it's the first Wednesday of the month, right before she goes on tour. We've got Garden Wise Living with Arlena today. We've got a kind of a dual topic we're going to be talking about. If you're a potato lover, different types of potatoes. We'll be talking about that. Who doesn't love a good potato every now and then, whether it be baked or in fry form or scalloped or hash browns? Or hey, potatoes are awesome. We're also going to be talking about dealing with drought, different tricks of the trade, if you will, to how to preserve as much moisture as possible in the ground around your plants or your crops, whether it be planting and choosing drought-tolerant plants. If that's not always possible, then, of course, how maybe mulch is your friend. I know I've got to get some mulch around our blueberries, and that's definitely something that I'll be needing to do here shortly with the hot summer sun, is to getting some mulch, which can contain a lot of moisture in the ground, actually. So I just haven't decided exactly how to shape the bed that the blueberries are in. I don't know if I want to make them individual bushes or make one long bed and then mulch it heavily to keep moisture in there. But that's going to be our topics today with Arlena Schott with Gardenwise Living, and she is heading off for a month-long gardening tour across the country, so she'll be telling us about that, as well as also what choice of wine she might have chosen for today's show. So we've got that, really looking forward today. Just a reminder, we'll be on the road tomorrow. This is an exciting day because we'll be kind of wrapping up our busy travel season. As you know, we've been on the road for the last 2 weeks. That kind of explains the sporadicness, if that's a word, of the radio shows of here and there. So, but tomorrow, actually, I looked at the calendar, and really no planned travel for the next 6 weeks. If we do anything, it'll be by choice. And we're looking forward to hanging out at the homestead for a little bit. So hanging out there, getting a little exercise, getting out of the hotel room, if you will. In fact, right now, our hotel room is being turned over. So if you hear a little bit of this, a little bit of that in the background, that is what is going on. And, of course, that's my co-host, Caleb Schneider, Chicken Whisperer Jr., who's also joining me today. So, but speaking of real co-hosts, the show cannot go on without, of course, me introducing my official co-host for the radio show. The one, the only, Compost Queen herself, author of many, many, many great titles, including City Chicks, which is a hot seller on Amazon, and a third edition of Chicken Attractor, the one, the only, the lovely Pat. Oh, did I mention pharmacist, too? Yep, she's a drug dealer. Pat Forman.
That's right. I can make it. You can take it. That's my motto. Hey, Whisper. How are you doing today? You sound pretty chipper.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm chipper because one more day. Tomorrow's the day. Little man and I will be checking out of the hotel maybe a little before noon tomorrow, and we'll say goodbye, and we'll get back to the homestead. So we're definitely looking forward to that.
No place like home.
Exactly right. I'm right there with you regarding that. So, kind of chipper. In fact, I told Jen, I said, I got to get out of this room. And, in fact, I mean, literally just a couple of blocks away, there's a bowling alley, and I told you, I said, let's go bowling.
I love to bowl.
Let's go bowling. You know, let's just become bowling nerds and head down to the lanes. And we went bowling actually when we were down in Florida for the first time in a couple of years at least, maybe longer. And and we enjoyed it. You know, I was like, Pat, and you know this, when you go bowling, you notoriously later that evening after you go bowling discover muscles that you obviously haven't used for quite a while. you know, you always get there and you think, you know, I've been bowling for now a long time and I know what my average score is and I'm going to try to beat that and I'm really going to concentrate and mind my, you know, my the movement of my arm and make sure I, you know, throw straight, not crooked. And then, of course, notoriously, you just stink. Oh, no, what am I doing wrong? You know, he's like, oh, you had this idea of I'm going to get the score. I'm going to try to shoot for maybe 250, and then you end up getting, you know, 175. So it's, oh, my goodness, recreational bowling is quite fun. So we may hit the lanes next this afternoon. Gene, can you hand me my power plug for me, please? Doll, thank you very much. So I meant to do that before we started the show. I had it all ready to roll, but just never plugged it in. So we don't want to lose airtime here. So we may do that. And what you got planned, Pat? What you got going on? You joined us, and which we love to join. So I guess they've got the pharmacy covered. So hey, today is potatoes. Everybody loves potatoes, and it's also drought. Dealing with drought, which I'm really interested in, being in South Georgia. So what's in store for you today? Not to no show tomorrow. So what you got going on the next couple of days?
Oh, yeah, I've had such an amazing morning. Our farmer's market is in full swing, and we have our the Lexington, Virginia, is hot in debate about chickens in the city limits. So I took the petition down. Our farmer's market, like most farmer's markets, is such a social time. It's just a wonderful place to meet and cavort with people. So I took the petition down. And who was there but one of the council members who, I think I'd mentioned, I had taken Oprah Henfrey into one of the workshop that our city council had. Mm-hmm. And one of the council members apparently was afraid of chickens. And anyway, it got, I was told by no uncertain terms by this other council member that it was inappropriate to do, that livestock had no place in Right. So I said, but that's not livestock. That's Oprah Henfrey. She's my pet. And do dogs ever go into public buildings? Probably not. So maybe it was inappropriate. But so I apologize for that. But I said the whole topic is about chickens. And so many of the council members have never seen a live chicken or touched one. And given that's what it's all about, here's a chicken that is breaking the archetype. It's changing that they're dirty, you know, the belief that they're dirty, lifey, all this sort of stuff. So anyway, I collected a bunch of petitions, a bunch of signatures on the petition.
Nice.
And the saga continues. We're going on to this now for 6 years to get chickens legal. And I just told them, I said, you know, sometimes progress and chickens precede election by election. And that's kind of how our discussion ended. It wasn't hot, but it wasn't very, you know, warm and friendly, fuzzy, feathery kind of discussion.
So basically you walked up to him and you said,
how would you like a punch in the beak?
No, that's not my style. You know that. No.
Gotta love it. So while you were there at the farmer's market, did you partake in any fresh coffee?
I did not. I'm caffeine-free today.
Oh.
I did buy some cookies, though. So. I don't even have cookies. But I got my prize for the market today is a sweet bay tree. Sweet bay. Oh. It's a Laurel nobelia. And it's great for in soup. So this is the bay leaf that
get.
And I've got a wonderful spot for it. So I bought a pet tree today. So I do that. I'll buy pet plants as well as sort of my pets that show up. So that's been my morning. And it was really a lot of food for thought because so many people, we could only get signatures within the city limits, people that actually lived or owned property within the city limits. And so I could have gotten easily 100 if you include county people, but they just wanted to know what the city limits people are.
Wonderful.
But this it's getting less, though. The prejudice, not just last week, Salem, Virginia passed the chicken ordinance to allow stuffed chickens, which is really big. They had a huge fight down there too, and Annapolis has passed, although they have some bad setbacks.
Tampa, Florida just passed, and they are legal now in Tampa, Florida.
There you go.
Big city down there in Florida. Yep, absolutely. So, in fact, I think in the last 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, I posted a mini. I don't know, at least maybe a half a dozen cities that have were either had changed their laws or were seriously considering and possibly would change their law coming up in the meetings. And they were going to, you know, have these new ordinances drafted up and things like that. So looking, you know, it's happening. It's happening all across the country.
So the noose is closing. The circle is getting tighter. So it's just a matter of time. And
it
of course, you know, as we know, it's so important for local foods. And I was trying to explain to this one councilman, you know, so many people come to chickens through disease because they realize they can't eat, they're allergic to commercial eggs, and they can't eat a lot of the commercial foods. That's what got them into trouble largely in the first place. So they're really returning to growing a lot of their foods, and of course the protein is so important for a healthy immune system. And, you know, it's just like water over, I don't know, a desert or something. It just didn't stick. Just did not want to hear it. I mean, it's frustrating, isn't it? Some people that, and I'm guilty probably too of having my mind so made up about something, I just don't want to hear any information other than what I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that was my morning. So I had a great time though. I mean, I had so many laughs and jokes.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we had a wonderful time yesterday, and people will be encouraged to hear this because I've been talking about it for a little while, and we dibble dabble in planning it and things like that. And we've talked about this on the show. And yesterday we had a really, really, really fun afternoon. We left around 3 o'clock. I had to go and mail some chicken whisper gear I had brought on the road specifically to get out for our fans. And then I went by post office, mailed that out. And then we went and saw a friend of ours, in fact, the old homestead home that we live in now, built in around 1900. Her family was the first family to live in. There's only been two owners of the house, the Childs and the Gilberts. And the Childs apparently the Gilberts built it for the Childs, and then the Childs, I think, sold it back to the Gilberts. And so two owners basically through all these years, and she was a Gilbert. She's the lady that we bought the house from. And so we've kept in touch. In fact, her family reunion is going to be in the town where we live in now this weekend. And she lives now where we're at here in Columbus, Georgia, for Jen's work currently. And so I sent her an email, said, hey, let's get together, da-da-da-da-da. You know, I hadn't seen you in a little while. Let's talk. And I said, let's talk motorhomes. Let's talk campers, because, you know, we've been talking about we take the show on the road anyway, but we've talked about the big tour bus or the camper or the motorhome or the big, you know, chicken whisper groupies and things like that we have fun with. And so all of our fans will be happy to know that we're one step closer to doing that. We went to her house. She actually owns a large RV and camper campground here just outside of Columbus and near Fort Benning. And she actually bought the house and the property back in the 60s. And slowly but surely now it has, 60? But they doubled it. So it's maybe about 65 lots there for campers. And, of course, she lives on site and her family kind of runs it. And so we went and toured that place, which is really cool. And then she let us tour her Airstream. She's got three, actually.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yeah, tell me about it. And so and then she's just 100% Airstream. And she's like, let me tell you what we talk about. Because she belongs to all the Airstream clubs and memberships all over the country. And she lost her husband a few years back, but she'll get in that Suburban and hook up her Airstream and head across country, not even thinking about twice about it. And she's really, really cool person. And she's kind of got us talked into Airstream. So we've been kind of, we looked at a couple, let's say, for sale yesterday. And she's, of course, we knew she probably would know somebody who had one for sale. And so, but she says, she made a funny comment yesterday. She says, well, you know, there's people who have Airstreams, and then there's the SOBs, people who own some other brand. So there's Airstreams, and then there's the SOBs, which stands for some other brand, but we don't talk about those. So she bragged all about them. We got to walk in hers. It was really cool. She told us all the benefits of the Airstreams, and that they, you know, there's the folks that remodel the classic ones all the way back to the 30s. There's some that are still brand new. They no longer make the motorhome version, and we basically have, we talked ourselves out of that. Here's my theory, and if we have any Chicken Whisper listeners out there that are experienced RV motorhome campers, because we're going to take this this show on the road, we've already got our kind of our itinerary, as at least our map, kind of the way where we're going to travel, kind of in our brain. But if there's anybody out there that has a lot of experience, we'd like to hear from you. But this is my 3-minute theory on camping. Number one, Class A's. These are the big Monacos. These are the ones that cost, you know, $250,000 to $1 million. These are the folks that you never see anybody under about 50 years old driving them, because they've saved their pennies up. They maybe worked for the big corporate company for 40 years. They retired. They have a nest egg of millions. They buy this thing for, you know, $500,000 to $1 million, and they hit the road. They have the $30,000 SUV they're towing behind it, and so totally out of the question. But the reason why that's out of the question, other than price, is that specialty parts, specialty tires, specialty mechanics, specialty transmission, special diesel engine, all that adds up to dollars,
specialty
dollars,
gas
dollars,
tank
dollars,
to hold all that specialty fuel.
Absolutely.
Oh my
God, if it breaks down,
like 6 miles per gallon.
Yeah, if it breaks down, who are you going to get to fix it? It's all specialty. Okay, so then we started looking at Class C, which is basically the van front end, van chassis with this big fiberglass camper on the back or attached to it. And the advantage, of course, of that is I can drive down the road while Jen naps in the back with Caleb. She fixes me lunch while I'm heading down the road. You know, I don't have to stop for her.
You got to let Jen drive, Whisper.
Oh, yeah, she'll drive it. So no big deal there. But and so again, van engine, van transmission, van wheels, van, you know, thing. So you know, V8 engine, maybe a V10. So it's like, you know, finding people to fix it or work on it. A little less for parts. A little, you know, anybody can pretty much work on it because it's like working on a family van. But the issue there is once you get where you're going, whether it's a Class A or Class C, and you get hooked up, if you want to go buy your groceries, if you want to go see family, if you want to go shopping, if you want to go play putt-putt, you have to unhook everything and drive that big monstrosity to wherever you're going and back, unless you tow a car with you. So that's always not so, you know, just kind of seem like extra work to drive this big thing to the Publix and back to get some sandwich meat. So there's wherein lies the trailer. The disadvantages there, you can't, you know, be in the back, you know, going to the bathroom, fixing a sandwich while you're driving down the road. You pull over, and then you can utilize the back and the restroom and whatnot, but you can't do both at once or have them sleep back there while you're driving. So it's there's the disadvantage there, but the advantage is once you're there, you set up, you unhook, and you've got your car, your truck, your SUV to go wherever you want to make those little errands. So a little bit more advantage regarding that. Plus, you don't, you know, what are you looking at happening? You've got a couple of tires that you might, you know, have flat or replace every now and then, a few, you know, maintenance issues with your restroom, things like that. But hey, the bottom line here is we are one step closer to actually, you know, really making our book tour road trip. The basically the map we're looking at is we're probably starting a course around the Atlanta area, heading west on I-20, making stops, of course, in Alabama, Mississippi, maybe Louisiana, Texas, getting out to Texas. And then from Texas, heading up to maybe Denver. And then from Denver, taking I-70 back east out through Kansas City, out that way, I believe. And then St. Louis. And then heading over to the East Coast, and then taking the East Coast all the way down to maybe Orlando, maybe Florida area, down in that area as well. So that's kind of the circle we're doing. So it doesn't look like we're getting all the way out to the West Coast, not going up to Washington, but maybe heading up to Denver and then coming back and making that basically that circle there, staying on the main highways and whatnot. And so we're looking at possibly still doing research over the next couple of months, maybe looking at a purchase in July, and then maybe actually doing this sometime in July. We've got a kind of a 2-week time period there we're looking at, where maybe we take a week to do that, and then once we get to Florida, spend a week down there on the beach at a little park there, Airstream Park there. So still looking around, still doing the research, but we are definitely we talk about it a lot on the show, Pat. You know, the tour bus and going out and seeing fans and stopping in places, and this way I can pull over and do my radio show in the back of the camper anywhere I want, but where I'm am. I can hook up and stop at Tractor Supplies or folks that carry the ManaPro product and their mom and pop feed stores. I can stop at Ace Hardware's, wherever, and we can do the show and maybe do a few poultry workshops. And either way, I can do the show right from the camper and see folks. So definitely looking forward to this, having the big CW logo on the side as we ride down the road. Definitely looking forward to that. So one step closer. We took a big, giant leap yesterday, and it got us like a little fire under our belt, if you will. So we're definitely looking at it. In fact, I spent some time last night online looking at what you could get, you know, as far as Airstreams. Now, I had no idea the new ones were cost what they were. We're not talking about anything new. In fact, she said really the best built from word on the street with Airstreamers are basically from 1975 to 1985 based on design and the quality of the aluminum, the metal, the thickness of it, and things like that. So that's the era we're looking at, 1975, 1985, in that era. And the one we walked in, what was hers, an 83 or something like that, Jen? And it was very nice inside. It wasn't, you know, I guess maybe if you walked into a brand new one, it may have looked dated. But it, jeans, yeah. And it was just, oh, was it? So hers was a little bit older than that. Hers was in the late 70s. Okay, but it was wonderful. So one step closer to even though we've been traveling and doing the show on the road for about 4 years, we're definitely going to look forward to doing this. So it'll be good times. Yeah, East Dallas Dave says, hey, good times. That he had a good times van with shag carpet and a porta potty in the chat room. So. Yeah, totally fun. Terry Nick says she's been RVing all her life. She said, believe me, it's not safe making lunch or going to the bathroom while the vehicle is moving.
That's worth the wise.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So you know, that was my 3-minute knowledge of RVing there. So we'll just have to see where it rolls. But right now, I mean, she really just talked about Airstream, and all the benefits of that. So it makes sense, and we found some pretty good values on some of that we like. So we'll see what happens. Maybe this may end up being a July tour. Boy, it'll be hot. But hey, you know what you're gonna just make sure you got that good. Coleman RV air conditioner on the roof to cool you off, and everything should be just fine. So shag carpet. No, I think they're putting actually some nice wood flooring in them now. They're upgrading and putting that, what's it called? The like Pergo stuff.
Pergo,
and,
laminate.
Yeah, and all that kind of
much
nice
easier
stuff
to take care of.
Yeah, yeah, and if you're walking out all the time, you got your kids, you're, you know, dragging beach chairs into it, you know, of course you want something that's going to be nice and reliable, so gotta love that. So, all righty, we got a great show. It's the first Wednesday of May, and Garden Wise Living with Arlena today. We're talking about choosing the right potatoes for you, different types of potatoes, and then also not necessarily just choosing drought-tolerant plants, but if you have plants already in the ground or you're planting them, how to capitalize on that little bit of moisture you may have using mulch or digging deep, making a bigger hole where when you plant to be able to contain the water that you water and then keeping the moisture in the ground by using different types of mulch. So that's definitely looking forward to that topic today. So let's go right. And we've got a great prize to give away towards the end of the show. We've got a galvanized trough feeder to give away from our good friends Ware Manufacturing. So we'll have a little trivia at the end of the show today. And we've got a 24-inch galvanized trough feeder from Ware Manufacturing. That'll be our prize today. So let me get over here to the phone lines, go to the switchboard, and we're going to bring on Arlena, and we're going to see just what type of wine she's enjoying today. Arlena, welcome to the show.
Hello there. How are you today?
I'm sweeter than snuff. Sweeter than snuff and half as dusty. And,
sweeter than snuff.
And Patsy,
I really don't think so.
And so tell us, what have you popped the bottle open already?
I have actually taken the cork out, yes, as us wine people would say. But you know what? Sometimes the sparkling wines do have a pop to them. So you're off the hook on that one. Yes, I have. And we're going to pour. Now, this wine here was given to me by one of the gals that I just recently spoke at her garden center on miniature gardens on my tour that I'm on. And that's Brooke Wessel, and she's from Westland Greenhouse in Stetsonville, Wisconsin. But she gave me this wine, and it's called Naughty Girl Wine. Now, I have absolutely no idea why she would give me a wine that's called Naughty Girl. I don't know. So she gave me this wine, and this wine it was developed by Von Steel, Ladies of the Vice Group, Von Steel Winery, Elgamy, Wisconsin. Now, it's a really nice wine. It's a red wine, and it's really kind of, I don't know, I have to take a sip. You can't not sip it, right? It's really fresh. I like that of it, and it's very light. And so it's perfect for our day today that we're going to talk about potatoes, because there would be no reason why I couldn't drink it with a really good russet potato.
Ah.
Oh, gosh, we're taking this show way to the bottom, Pat. So I hear Pat's with us today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm cackling. I'm kind of muffling my cackle here. I'm laughing so hard. Naughty girl wine. Huh?
Naughty girl wine. Naughty girl wine. So I'm really, Pat, wish you could just join me here with a glass. It's just, you know, funny how things happen, but I have really absolutely no idea why I have naughty girl wine here today. So I see Annie Haven is in the house at Green Soil. Hello, Annie. You know, I heard you talking about, to get off the subject here, I did hear you talking about your planning your book tour, and that's awesome. I hope to maybe be able to see you myself one day. It'll be awesome.
It'll be a combination book tour, kind of meet the fans, radio show, you know, maybe a couple of poultry workshops here and there, / kind of vacation, and we just want to get out and meet the folks. We love meeting the folks.
Exactly. Well, you know, I've been doing my tour now from home for the past month and a half. It's called the Magical Miniature Garden Workshop Tour, and it's actually sponsored by Jeremy, who makes the little tiny miniature benches and things like that. And then I have a little chicken house and little chickens. And I stop at independent garden centers across Wisconsin. I've been down to Chicago, throughout Illinois, I should say. Minnesota, I've dabbled that gray with workshops. Wisconsin, and I'm actually leaving this Friday, and I'm jumping over to Nevada. We'll start in Nevada. Fallon, Nevada, I land there, and I speak there at the Flower Tree on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, or next, on the 9th, excuse me, about miniature gardens. And then I travel over the hill, I'm heading to Annie Haven's. That's like the big, which is Green Soil in here, and Annie Haven, who is the Annie Manure Tea, which is Haven brand manure tea, my absolute favorite to feed my miniature gardens. And we're actually, I'm going to meet up with her and capture her on film, get to see the ranch. We're having 2 days, 3 days there. Actually, it's a working day at the ranch. So she's got some gloves for me. We've got some tools. We're just going to get at it. But it's going to be a great time. I'm actually booked throughout May, throughout the West Coast, all the way down. I start in Nevada, then I go over the hill, and I go to Sacramento. Then I head down. Oh goodness, it's all the way down to San Juan Capistrano, all the way down. And there's a map on my website. I'm not going to even go through that right now, but you can keep track of my little adventure all the way down the West Coast. But it's all of May, and it's booked solid every weekend and three quarters of the weekdays, speaking at independent garden centers about miniature gardening, spreading the word on gardening, keeping everybody in touch with the importance of independence. So now I've said my whole spiel.
Right.
And yes, Annie Haven, I am coming to the ranch. We talked about it, and it's wonderful. And then when I get back, we're going the other way. We're going to start in Michigan and go up and see just how far east we can get before we hopefully book it up and come south. So eventually, hopefully, I'll be pulling up in your yard there, Mr. Chicken Whisperer.
Oh, yeah. You coming down into, you said coming south. You coming down all the way down to Georgia, Florida?
We're not coming down. Well, actually, Atlanta. I will be in Atlanta.
Okay. Okay. Not bad.
Yeah. So hopefully, we can kind of hook up there and do the whole southern part of my tour. And then, but I know I'm heading east as far as Michigan when I get back in June. So I'm going around the bend, and I'm going through Michigan and hopefully head out towards the New York area. But if I'm not, then we'll drop south, and we'll for sure Atlanta, because that is actually where Jeremy Corporation is based out of. So they want to have me hit all their southern friends.
Nice.
So it's going to be great, like you say, to meet all the friends, meet everybody. That's really all so cool.
That is. That's so, so rich. Well, and you're driving then most of the time until you fly out to Nevada. Right?
Yes, I'm flying. I've been driving for the whole 2 months now here, just kind of from home base, out and about. I stay out for like 3 days and come back in and, you know, kind of thing. But this one will be just hop over. We're going to hop over and drop into Nevada, and there from there I'm going to drive all the way down the coast.
It's just you? You're going to do it alone?
Yeah. Awesome, huh? Right?
Oh, God. I wish I could join you. We'd have so much fun.
I do, too. Where are you? I'll pull my car in. Yes, there is a link. The link is on my website. It's called Garden. If you go to ArlenaGWise.com and you look all the way back down to the right on the listing, I guess the menu, there will be a magical miniature garden workshop tour page, and it actually has the calendar on it of all the stops that I'll be making along the way down to Annie Havens. And down to the ranch where we're gonna throw poop at each other. I don't know. We're probably not going to do that, huh, Annie? But anyway, we will definitely probably have a glass of wine or two, just one or two, you know, really.
Of naughty girl wine, no doubt.
The naughty girl wine.
Yeah, you better take a case, I think.
Yeah. I am not planting potatoes along the way. No, I'm not. I've just kind of got off track here. Can you imagine that? Me getting off track. I couldn't even think about it. So we'll get away from my tour because it's just going to be grand, and I actually am going to be doing next show, which is the third Wednesday, correct?
Is correct.
The third Wednesday is the 16th, right? Yep, 1, 2, 3. And I will be on the road, so I'm going to be doing that show on the road. And I'm not sure if I'll be at Annie by then. That would be way cool. I could try to be at Annie Havens by the 16th, or some be the 17th, so we could do the show together. That would be fun. Let's see what I can do about that. I know I speak in Escalon, California, on the 15th, so let's see if I can get down that far. San Juan Capistrano is quite a ways down because I speak at Orange on the 17th, so I might not make it down as far, but we'll see. I'll try, because I'm going to definitely do the next show from on the road. So you guys can figure out what you want me to yak about, because obviously I can't stay on track today. Okay, let's get back to potatoes.
Potatoes.
Potatoes, potato. You say potato, I say potato. Yes. Obviously everybody loves potatoes, and it's a fun thing to do. And here in Wisconsin, Zone 4 or 5 now, you know, I understand y'all are warmer than me, but we're just now, a lot of people have their potatoes in, but it hasn't been that warm. So I never usually get my potatoes in until maybe about the third week in May, which is going to be really kind of a fun thing to try to accomplish right now. But because the fact that the ground temperature is just now warming up here in Wisconsin. So if you get them in too soon, they're going to sit there and just look at you and rot. Or if you get them in too late, obviously, you're only going to have a few potatoes. So it's kind of a hit and miss. But potatoes do really well here. And I'm sure there in the South, how are the potatoes doing in the South?
They're fine. And we got to plant them in February.
You've got to plant them in February. So that's like the coolest thing.
Wow.
to do this radio show with such an array of time zones and zones, planting zones. I think it's way cool. Instead of everybody being the exact same, it's like, okay, who does what, when, you know. I love that. So, yes. So you guys have gotten your potatoes in already then, most of you in the South, correct?
Correct. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, here we're just thinking of or have gotten them ordered. They're already here. We're just getting them planted. Now, well, let's talk a little bit about variety. I just can't get away from not enjoying the new potatoes. Then that would be your red variety. So reds and, you know, the thin skin reds are the ones that you plant, and then you can harvest those as the plant grows and matures rather than waiting, for instance, for maybe your russets to get ready and then having those, and those are a thicker skin potato. But my reds I really enjoy because those you can eat right along. You can dig down below the plant and just steal away some and not even actually kill the plant. You can continue on. So that's really cool about that. I really love to put my reds in for new potatoes because usually those are ready right when my peas are ready. So you have new red potatoes and peas. So that's fun. Do you all plant red potatoes there? What varieties do you plant the most of?
I would say just regular. When you go into the stores, you got white taters and yellow taters.
You right.
You do taters.
Yeah.
I know better
that's
than
you get
to ask questions. I really know better than to ask questions. I'm just going to add on that.
I like the Yukon Gold is my favorite.
Oh,
Yukon
I'm
Gold
with you
potato.
On that.
They're just buttery and nutty and just, I love them.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like you, Pat. A little nutty and...
and buttery. And a little
and buttery.
Hot and steamy when you take them out of the oven, you know.
Okay, yeah. We can just go the other way with this show. I can see it right now. It was slathering butter.
Slathering butter is good.
I agree. I do enjoy growing yellow potatoes, the Yukon Golds, like you said. And again, yes, they're sweet and buttery, you know, kind of looking inside, as well as their texture, perfect smashed potatoes. Actually, sometimes.
Yeah, great mashed potatoes. But for potato salad, I like the little red ones.
I do, too. I like the flavor
but
of those
I leave the
well.
Skins on.
Yeah. Yes. Do different potato varieties require different soil types? Not necessarily. I have found, now this is my own opinion, and y'all can chime right in because you always do anyway. There'll be nothing new. But I have found that my potatoes enjoy a lighter soil. Have you found that? That they like a lighter, sandier soil for, of course, full sun and more of a loamy, more of a sandy soil. So if you have a spot in your garden that it seems to be lighter, that's where I usually put my potatoes rather than the heavier, clayer, or loamier soil. I don't know. That's just my choice. But, no, I have not found that my potatoes, whether they're red, white, yellow, purple, or blue, have or even the 4th of July variety that has kind of a red vein in it, I haven't found that they do any different in my one end of my garden to the other, and that's a heavy soil versus a light soil. So that is only my opinion if you asked me, okay? But I do love Yukon Gold as well, I do. Now, let's talk a little bit about what are your plans for your potatoes, right? If I'm thinking of planting potatoes, let's have a purpose. I always think about this planting for a purpose thing. If I'm thinking of having them for fresh eating, then I don't have to worry too much about ones that are going to get big, that we're going to set skin, I always call it, to save over winter. But we're going to eat them fresh, like my reds, my little reds. I enjoy those fresh and right out of the garden, not have to worry about holding them. Yukon Golds again. And any of the hybrid, or the, not the hybrids, the, oh, you are Lena, the heirlooms or the blues and all the new varieties of the blues and the purples and things like that. Those are ones that we want to think of not as keepers, per se, because they're thin-skinned, right? The thin-skinned ones are meant to be eaten fresh or kept for short periods of time versus our heavier-skinned, like our russets or Burbank russets, things like that. Reds can be kept as long as you wait until the skin sets. And what I mean by the skin setting is, let your plants completely die before you harvest. And in our case, it would be after complete frost kill or freeze kill. Then we harvest because something happens between the top of the plant and the root, which is the potato, that tells, that does something chemically wise to the potato itself, the fruit, that makes the skin set and gets harder, which is telling it we're going to form a harder skin around the meat of potato. Jeez, it sounds like I know what I'm talking about. I'm really good.
we know what you're talking about.
I know you know what you're talking. I know you understand what I'm saying here, but it's called I call it my skin set, and I just allow that plant to completely die off, completely get either frosted or, I don't know, if in your guys' case, do you wait for the plant to die away after it blossoms? And then you dig in the south? I wonder how that works.
We
How's
just
that work in the south there, Whisper?
I'm sorry?
I basically will go outside and with my potato fork, and I'll if I turn them over and they're about the size I want them, then I'm taking them.
Okay, there you go. See, we don't
so
have
that's the new gardening. That's the new gardening thing, Arlena. You dig them when you need them, not when they're ripe.
Exactly.
We know you want that potato. It's ripe.
Whenever I want my potato. See, that's what I meant by the fresh eating ones. Now, Whisper, you got to come back a little bit. I thought I'm the only one with ADD. Got to keep up. Now, those, when you're digging them when they're ready, when I want them, that's fresh eating, and those are the lighter skin ones I like to use, even though you can do that with russets. But we were talking about ones to keep over the winter. So what you would do, I imagine, in the South, if somebody could chime in here besides that other man that we were talking to and tell me what the Southern folk do when they want their plants or their potatoes to set, as in harden their skin so you can keep them over winter longer. So somebody can tell us what you guys do there. But here we allow them to freeze, completely freeze dead. Then that allows the potatoes to set, I call it. And then
which is different than when you go and plant your onion sets.
Yes, dear. Yes, it is, or potato sets, or whatever you want to call it. Absolutely. It's just that skin is getting hard so that we can overwinter them longer, out of the soil. And you never want to scrub your potatoes. If you're planning on keeping those over winter, you never want to scrub your potatoes. You always
right.
want to leave the soil on them. And little or no damage at all to the skin is the best way. And you store them at 40 to 50 degrees, never freezing them, because we know what happens to a frozen tater, and it don't smell good. So what we do is we keep them at a 40 to 50 degrees, and then we can store them for longer periods of time in a darker place. What I do is I put them in 5-gallon buckets. For my seed potatoes, it's different. I put them in 5-gallon buckets, and then I leave them in my laundry room and covered with rugs so that they stay out of the sunlight. And they work really well that way. And then I can eat them all winter. And then I always have a seed for next year. So I still have a couple mm-hmm. buckets that need to be planted. So that works well.
Excellent.
So that's what I mean.
Is your laundry room heated? Or is it just
it's not heated. And that one far wall, it doesn't get, in the winter time it doesn't freeze and it doesn't get warm in there. So if I shut the door, you walk in and you feel like you've walked into a nice cool room. So it's almost like a cellar. It's into the ground. I just happen to be lucky. I do even have windows, but the fact that that whole bottom corner is actually up next to three sides of my laundry room is three soil sides. Let's put it that way. So it really is a nice place to store some potatoes for the winter. And, yes, I do love.
Sounds like a good wine storage area, too.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Store. How long? This stuff doesn't last very long. Speaking of that, I better take a sip here. Oh, it's very good. It's dry, more dry than I normally like. I'm more of a. Not a dry wine, but this is very good. It doesn't make you pucker, and it's really fruity. So I'm going to have to meet these gals because I think the ladies of the Vice group and I would get along just fine. Maybe I should have them on the show one day if I could track them down. That would be fun.
Sure.
It might be a fun show there, Chicken Whisper. Hey.
That's always a fun show, Arlena.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Terry Nick, T-E-R-I-N-I-C-K. Where are you from, Terry? Should you cut the seed potato or plant it whole? Good question. Now, if my seed potato is golf ball size, which is perfect, oh gosh, when I see one that size, I'm just in heaven, and it has 2 to 3 eyes in it, I would plant it whole, boop, right into the ground. If my seed potato is bigger than that and it looks as though I can get 2 chunks out of it that has at least 2 to 3 eyes on each chunk. Now, the chunk meaning the potato flesh so that it can survive long enough, the eyes, to root because that is their eating. That's what they survive on, that little chunk, that flesh. So if I can get two pieces out of it, I do, or three pieces, I cut. If I don't have to cut, I don't cut. It's awesome. Just dig a hole, throw it in, and I go. But if I have to cut, I do. And I just kind of leave them sit, not in the sun, but just leave them sit overnight, scab up a little bit. I've never really had that much issue with them rotting away. There were some old-fashioned things of dipping them in this and dipping them in that. Oh, my goodness gracious. Just do it, for gosh sakes. You know, but, yeah, if I could just have everything perfect in my life, I would like a seed potato that has 3 to 4 eyes in a, as big around maybe as a golf ball or a little bit bigger, maybe a baseball, and then just throw it in whole. But if you have limited funds and limited seed potatoes, but you can see that you can get two chunks out of it with at least 3 eyes on each chunk, go for it. Cut it in half. Don't worry about it. Okay? And, yes, it is called Naughty Girl Wine, and that's exactly, yes. There goes some naughty, more Naughty Girl Wine. Kim Schmall. Where are you from, Kim? Anybody out there on the West Coast, I'd love to come see you, or you can come see me. Yes, awesome. But anyway, yes, so there's some different varieties. The blues are fun and purple. Yes. Arlena, do you rototill your potato patch? Yes, I do.
Well, good question,
yes. Yes, I do, only because it's huge. If I actually, if, for instance, you had 2 or 3, rows.
Got to love that. Whenever you pull the rototiller out, you get the applause.
I do, yes. I am a rototiller lady. I have a big old monster yellow one, and I have a little teeny tiny red one, and I love both of my girls. They work so hard for me. But if you, Pat, prefer the no-till, then you can use a spade and just turn your soil that way. Absolutely. No issues with that at all. Once my plants get
there
larger.
There are times when a rototiller is a good thing to do. A lot of people just do it too much and too often.
Yes, exactly. And you're actually disturbing your soil then, because your nematodes and all your important bugs can't take hold and do what they're supposed to do.
It plays havoc. And then if I should have a place that is just so overgrown that I really need a rototill, then as soon as I rototill, and after a day or two, I'll put a mulch on it just to help keep that soil moisture in. Because otherwise it dries out and irrevocably just kind of wears itself out.
Yes. Perfect. Yes, absolutely. California and Sacramento. Yes. Awesome,
yeah.
Kim. I'm going to be there. Get a hold of me. Look up my thing and come and see a miniature garden workshop. Do you need a rototill? Yes, I do. And when should people in northern, is it Cali, plant potatoes? Well, if you're not freezing, you should have gotten them. You could get them in the ground any time. What I worry about here is my ground temperature at least coming to above 60 degrees. So if your ground temperature has been 60 degrees or warmer for the past month, you could have gotten them in. If you haven't, girl, go get some sweet seed. Girl or boy, I'm sorry, I missed it. It just went up. Go get some seed potatoes and get them in the ground. But California, I believe they've had their gardens planted for at least 2 months now, too, as well, if from what my California people say. But don't take that as a naughty girl. You didn't get naughty girl. Get that. You didn't get your potatoes in. Just take it as if you have not got them in, just do it, girl. Girl or boy, I'm sorry. I didn't see who said that, so I didn't want to say who that was. Anyway, let's go back. I wish I could attach rototiller blades to my chicken's feet. That would be awesome. Yes, wouldn't that be wonderful? They do have little miniature ones, and sometimes they scratch them out, which is awesome as long as you already have your plants mature. But if you've just put your plants, your seeds in, then I definitely fence them babies out until it's time for the plants to be, then tell them plants are mature enough to let them in. What about sweet potatoes? Good question, Ralph. I love sweet potatoes, and I love the way they grow. You know, those are like the hardiest entire universe plants in the world. I ordered some last year from a farmer, and he sent them to me. And when I got them in the mail, this is the first thing he said to me was, when they get there, don't panic, because they're going to look like little sticks that are dead and don't have much to them. Just plant them, because they will do well. Yes, I did. And it was crazy. I had them in a flat in the greenhouse for the longest time because I thought they needed to be watered. Well, the ones my husband stuck in water to hydrate, no, they rotted. Don't do that. Put your sweet potato plants directly in either if it's ready to go out, because they're very tender. So for now, they're in a flat in the greenhouse. Then once your potato, or once they start to vine and the weather says, okay, we can put you out, we're not going to freeze unless we have a row cover, then we can put them out, yes. So sweet potatoes are wonderful. Put them in. I just love them. How much room do potatoes need in the garden? And do your plant in hills, or how deep should you plant a potato? I plant my potatoes maybe 5 inches, 6 inches under the soil. And depending on where you're from, if you flood irrigate, then you would want to plant them in hills. If you drip irrigate, you want to plant them on a furrow. I plant them flat in the ground, because we're here in Wisconsin. We get that wet stuff comes out of the air, you know, that stuff that comes out of the we get some of that here. So I plant it flat. But if you, for instance, and that's really a great way to segue into, you know, things like drought, and you need to flood irrigate, like out west, I flood irrigated my garden. So everything I planted was on either raised rows or raised mounds, so that the water went around them but not sit up by the plant. So in potatoes like that, if you're in an area where you're going to water that way, if you have water from flood irrigating by with a hose or with a creek, or a ditch, or you have drips, then I plant them on a raised mound, because that allows the sunshine to heat on both sides or all four sides, depending on whether it's a mound or a raised row, and it heats up the soil, which causes that plant to have activity. Does that make sense? Oh, a little bit, I guess.
Sure.
How much room do they take? They don't take much room at all. I plant my sweet potatoes maybe 5 to 6 inches apart. I'm sorry. I do. That's just the way I do it. I'm a kind of that rebel person, you know, a little bit. You know that a little bit. And I put them in the ground as tight as I can get them if I have limited space. If I have more space, then I spread them out. But my russets or keepers that I want to get bigger, I give them more space. But everything else, I just tighten them babies right up. They'll make you potatoes, depending on whether you want large or small. But it sounds like the Whisperer, he just doesn't care. He goes with his fork and gets them when he wants to.
Oh, yeah.
So, Dawn, new Dawn Farm Girl, how much room do potatoes need in the garden, depending on how many you want to grow? If you're growing them to keep for the winter, obviously you need more plants. If you're growing them just to eat for fresh eating, they don't take much room at all. If I were to say I have room to put my potatoes in, I would give them at least a 3-6-9 by 3-6-9 patch. 10 by 10 little patch would give you more potatoes than you need. You'd be putting them in people's mailboxes down the road. But that's it. Just put some in there. You know, just do it. It's all so fun. So fun. Mm-hmm. I have planted my potatoes. This is Kim Shaw. I've planted my potatoes in a pot, and I cover the green with potting soil every week. What? I'm sorry. I cover the green with potting soil every week, so there is lots of space for potatoes to grow. Will that work? Absolutely. Yes. Not cover the green. The plant has to be able to breathe. Okay, I'll take that back. The plant needs to breathe. So what I would just try to do is to know that if I have a small container, I'm going to get a limited amount of potatoes. So try to find a larger container and then build it up. But I have seen where they do that compost potato bin, and don't they add to the top of that as they go up or no?
Mm-hmm.
They do. I think they go up with that. So, I'm sorry. That's a question that I'm going to have to defer to I can look it up. But, you know, or defer to a phone call to a friend or somebody else out there that maybe has tried that. Can we cover that green of that plant and still have it survive as the soil comes taller, soil creeps up on that green so that we have more room for potatoes in that pot? Can we do that? But I think so.
I think so.
We can. Yes, it says, so far the green keeps coming up through the soil. Kim Shamel, I'm sorry, S C Michael, M-I-C-H-M-A-I-L. Yes, she says, so far the green keeps coming up through the soil. Thank you very much. We've all learned something. See, even this old dog, she can learn new tricks. See, good. I'm glad. Awesome. Well, should we switch from potatoes to drought?
Sure.
Okay.
That's
some
fine.
More.
Yeah, we planted our garden, and then we got timed it just right. The day we planted, actually 3/4 of it, we got about 4 hours of beautiful rain, and then no rain ever since. It's been about 10 days, maybe coming up 2 weeks, and then no rain in the next. Let's see, today's Wednesday. No rain in the next 7 days, according to WeatherChannel.com. I'm of course thankful I put in irrigation last year, but I hate to use it unless I absolutely have to. So not necessarily just garden, but plants around the house. Like I said, I know that you can utilize mulch to help retain the moisture, and I'm sure you've got a lot of other tricks under your belt to share with us.
Coming from Nevada, that is definitely something I can actually yak about. yep. We flood irrigated everything there. Absolutely flood irrigated, or drip system, or irrigation system. That was just the way you did it when you thought about putting in a new yard. They used to come to my garden center, and we'd talk about installing a new landscape for them. It was the first thing we talked about was a sprinkler system. That was just something we always did. So it's nice that you have it in. And, yes, Stu, if we have to use it, we use it. If we don't have to use it, we don't. But in your kind of country, I would have opted to do the exact same thing that you did in far as install it. Unless you had a ditch or a canal, out west we had canals that we could siphon into, and we had head gates that I could flood irrigate my garden. That was just the way we watered things. It was it. To keep the moisture in, then we look at, like you say, mulches. Heavy mulch on top, plus the fact that at the end of the season, it works back in and it nourishes the soil and gives it the organic matter that it needs to survive and build up your soil for the next years. So it double duties in its way, you know. So mulch heavy on top after you've moistened the soil. So after the rain would have been a great thing for you to come in and mulch on top of the beds. The problem is if depending on what you planted, potatoes. If the moisture goes down, how deep did the moisture go down? Usually an inch of rain only goes, you know, excuse me, an inch of rain, you know, really only penetrates maybe, what, 2, 3, 4 inches into the soil. So it does take quite a bit of rainfall in order to moisten down 2 to 3 feet sometimes, or at least 2 feet if it's in the case of potatoes or things like that, or a foot in case of onion sets, to keep the moisture in anyway.
Yeah, and as we know, if you just, I'm just going to go outside and water just a little bit, and you just, you know, hit that first inch or two of under the soil, that the roots have a tendency to stay up top. They won't run deep. And then, of course, if you do have that drought, it's not as good for the plants because they can't run deep to get the water. So, you know, I've always been taught and have practiced, you know, water deep, get those roots to go deep instead of just, oh, I'll just turn on the irrigation for about, you know, an hour and then, oh, it looks nice and moist out there, but actually you're kind of doing yourself a disservice. Am I correct in saying that?
Oh, right. Like you say, again, you mulched on top of after it rained, correct?
Now, this is garden, strict garden, so it's like, you know, you want those now with the plants, sure, you know, the same thing, kind of water deep and get those roots to run deep versus just kind of sitting around on the surface to absorb that water. And then, let me ask you this, because I've always been taught, too, that the best time to water, if you're going to water artificially versus God-given rain out of the sky, is to water in the morning time. I've always heard that, but when we drove into town, of course, being on the road for 2 weeks, I had a quick Andy theory that, you know, we got in about 7 p.m., and I said, you know what, I need to water. If I water now as the sun is setting and let the irrigation run for a couple of hours, at least I'll know I'll have some moisture in the ground for overnight that the plants can benefit from, whereas if I water during the day, I get so much evaporation from the hot sun. So my theory there was I watered at nighttime because at least they'd have a good 8 hours of good, cool, moist soil they could benefit from, and I would have lack of, and the wind wasn't blowing, so I know when we have wind, that'll cause a lot of evaporation too, even after you water as the wind blows. So that was my theory regarding that. But is the census still water in the morning if you're going to water yourself?
It is. Okay, there's lots of different views on this subject, and uh-huh. You're right. Usually you hear, okay, don't water in the direct sun because the plants will burn. And then you're losing, like you say, evaporation, you're losing some of that. Uh-huh. Now, if you're sprinkling water, which means your soil is already moistened but you're just over-sprinkling, then I suggest you either do it in the early morning or later in the afternoon, and not overnight because sometimes powdery mildew will follow that.
Right,
and again,
right.
With flooding is the same thing. Sometimes once your plants are established, flooding in the evening will, powdery mildew will follow that. But flooding in the morning or even afternoon is fine, in my opinion. Out west, we got the water when we got the water, and the ditch rider said, okay, Arlena, you have the water for 18 hours. You take it. You take it when you want. And I never found any difference between, and we row cropped 4 acres of cantaloupes and 8 acres of watermelons and 12 acres of tomatoes, so it wasn't something that I did small. So I never really saw the difference in how the plants reacted. I just understood the fact that if I'm a home gardener and I have the choice to decide when to water, I prefer to water, A, like you said, in the morning or in later in the afternoon, not in the direct sun of the day and not way, way late at night so the plants don't have time to at least dry out a bit before the nights come in. And, and I'm thinking in the south it probably works for you because it's probably humid and not
yes.
And not doesn't give it a cool down. So, because here in Wisconsin, sometimes we have at least a little bit of a cool down at night,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
Where the plants aren't going to grab that that mildew is not going to set in. But yes, to get back to your question, you are correct. Do it in the morning or in the afternoon. Or here I go with my rebel. If I get home late from something like you guys did, and your plants just saying, "Guess what? I need a drink." Don't wait till that next morning and stress them out. Give them some water. So, again, there goes my rebel on you, and I'm just going to say do it when I need to do it. It's kind of like you taking your fork out and digging them when I want to dig them. You know, but if you have a set, when you're trying to set a time where, okay, we're going to water in the morning, and I'm going to get up at 6 a.m., and I'm going to flood irrigate until set time, then I'm going to shut it off. And then if I haven't finished that one side of the garden, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do it on this other side. Now, do you have sprinklers or do you have drips or is it flood?
It's sprinkler. So we've got underground irrigation, and then we've got the 5 heads that I actually
yes.
got from Farm Tech. They've got, I believe it's 50-foot, 50-foot coverage, and then they're the Mac Daddy. And then so
nice.
they stick up. They're about, the pipe runs out of the ground up about 5 feet, maybe somewhere between 5 and 6 feet out of the ground, and so we get good coverage with that.
I think I did see your pictures.
Yes,
I did see your pictures when you were putting it in, yes. Then that's wonderful. Morning, it'd be preferably morning because you're getting your moisture in the ground. The plants still have time in the sunny time of the day to dry so that we don't get some mildew problems, and then they go into the night with a nice moisture to them, and then we start in 2 to 3 days, depending on, you know, how often you have to irrigate. The thing with your you got your garden in, you had some nice rain, hopefully that's enough to sprout your seeds, but then we start to dry out if we don't get some continual, right?
Yeah.
So then you're going to have to. You may don't like it, but you're going to have to, because what those plants are really contingent on surviving off the seed and surviving on close soil moisture, because they don't have the roots.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing too is if we only keep that top of that soil moist, those roots will not go into dry soil. Will not.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So if we deep water, it means guys all know what I mean. Deep water, those roots stretch and go and go. That's what sometimes is an issue here with Wisconsin, is we have so much rain that the trees are shallow rooted. So if we do get a drought situation, which we had 5 years ago, then those trees will suffer because they don't have the roots that go down deep and search for moisture.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we do get a heavy wind or storms, that's what knocks our trees over, is because they're so shallow rooted, because they never really get a deep, 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 deep water. So that's why I always tell everybody with the plants around your house, if you have the option to let the hose run for a bit,
mm-hmm.
and get that water down deep and make those roots run to it, it sets a really
yeah.
good, strong root system. So when you do have those hot drought days and drought times when you didn't water, at least they don't stress out and they can survive on their own because they
right.
have that mature root system. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Great, great.
Yeah. So, and drip systems are wonderful.
Yay.
I love drip systems because they focus the water on the plant. Drip hoses are nice if you have a whole row of something that needs to be watered, and each plant is close together. Otherwise, there's really no reason to have a soaker hose stretched, for instance, through your landscape that there aren't any plants there. That's just, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
a waste of moisture.
Mm-hmm.
But to have a dripper that drips so many gallons per hour on a drip tube that has on a timer that drips only a certain amount, those are just like dreamy. Those are dreamy. And those are what are so easy to put in. Even if, for instance, you're here in Wisconsin and you have no water issues, well, still, I always suggest putting in a simple drip system for your containers, for your garden, if you have a small raised garden bed, for your hanging baskets. They're so simple to install. You just hook them to the faucet. You can put them on a little timer if you're deciding to go away camping for a weekend. You don't have to rely on the neighbor to hopefully come and water your big petunia baskets that you've been babying until July 4th when your big party is, and you come home and they're all crunchy. So, and it does conserve water. It does. Instead of you throwing the hose, having to go out and water and water and water, you're really keeping that moisture just concentrated by those little drips. I just love them.
Mm-hmm.
I just
mm-hmm.
love drip tubes. I really do.
Me too. Drip, drip,
yes.
drip.
Drips are good.
Well, it's so efficient, and it really takes quite a bit less water than spraying them all overhead or even with the sprinklers.
Exactly.
So that's another feature.
Exactly. No? Yeah. It just takes, like I said, they're just so efficient. And it's really come, it hasn't really reached Wisconsin as much, and then Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, in my opinion, I'm from Nevada, and let me tell you, like I said, the first thing we talked about before we talked about what kind of plants are we putting in the landscape is, okay, we're going to design the landscape, we're going to design the drip system and the irrigation system first, then we add the plants, because without it, you're almost, you're at beck and call of nature there, and you're out with a hose every day watering your plants
yeah.
out in Nevada.
Yeah.
And it just takes so much water. The phone rings, you throw the hose down, you forget about it for 3 hours, and you've wasted how much water. Plus, the plants aren't really benefiting from that deep water, which a drip system does. It drips, drip, drip, drip. And you can get 5-gallon-an-hour drippers. You can get 1-gallon-an-hour dripper, depending on what kind of, if it's a tree, you can get a 10-gallon-an-hour dripper, depending on what you want. 5-gallon-an-hour drippers for trees are just perfect. Or 2-gallon or 1-gallon-an-hour drippers for just shrubs and things like that are perfect. So, yeah. And then when you have hanging baskets or containers, you just plug into your main hose, your main drip system hose that's laying down under the fabric or under the compost or whatever it is, and you can punch in a little tiny mini quarter-inch tube and bring that up the wall and into your hanging basket with a little emitter that emits, half a gallon an hour or whatever. And they just drip slowly and they keep everything nice, and it's just so
you can,
nice.
You can put them on timers so you don't even have to do anything.
Exactly.
So it'll come on at like midnight and then go off at 4 or whatever you want.
Yes. So then you have more time to enjoy.
I'm familiar with drip systems and things like that, but I guess I don't know this. Will that still penetrate deep, or is that going to just basically, as it's just leaching a little bit of air out, a little bit of water out, if the roots won't stay at the top right underneath that drip system to say, the water's coming from right there, this is where I need to be, and, you know, I get all the water I can right here on the surface where the hose is. Are they going to go deep versus that water, you know, coming down?
That's a really good question, because that's really kind of the way you would almost logically think about it doing. But in retrospect, you're thinking about an emitter emitting 1 to 2 to 5 to 10 gallons per hour. Mm-hmm. Now, it's going to go down and down and down and down, and that's why I love my 2-gallon-an-hour emitters. I love 5-gallon-an-hour emitters, because they do exactly what we need them to do. They moisten the soil deep, and they moisten it wide, and they keep it moist. And that, and those plants just, they just, those roots just go completely wherever it's wet, they go, and that's what we want. We want that plant to search for more nutrients. We want it to search for more water. It will not go into dry soil. Will not. They will go stop right at the dry soil. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they work wonderfully that way.
Great.
Mhm. Yeah.
Learn something every day.
Yeah. There's lots of ways. You know, mulch is
being
mulch
very
is
vocal.
Like,
yeah, he's.
He wants to be on the radio, Dad. He wants to drink some naughty girl wine. Oh, I'm just teasing.
I like drip irrigation.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, so there's some information, a little bit about drought and a little bit about potatoes.
Yeah, both the yeller ones and the white ones.
The yellow ones and the white ones. You know, everybody from the Jeremy Company that's sending me on tour, they're all from the South, obviously, Georgia. They're from, you know, Atlanta. And so when I read their emails, I actually read it in a Southern accent. It's so crazy in my head. It's so crazy because it's weird to listen to that. It's like, oh, this is crazy. I'm actually reading, and I can hear that Southern accent in there. Yeah. Anyway, that was a little off topic. But, yeah, If your your garden is getting growing, just make sure, especially you, is to keep those seeds moist until they get those plants get established. When the plants get more established, they can take a little bit more dry down time. But once they're first starting, that's when it's like, okay, make it or break it here, dude, and keep the ground moist enough for them to, not too wet so they don't rot, but not too dry so they just kind of wither up and don't quite get out there. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
We need a drink of Naughty Girl wine. I think that's just what we need. Here we go. Cheers and sip.
Oh, my.
Hmm.
Yeah, Ralph says that in the chat room. She's like, I always say that there's no Southerners in Atlanta. And yeah, someone the other day had posted a picture. He was sitting in traffic, and he posted a picture of all the traffic in Atlanta, and I said, blame all the Yankees for that, and he said something about, I don't know what he said, and I said, I got $100 in my pocket right now that says that 95% of the people in that picture are Yankees.
95%.
And they're the ones that move down and then complain about the traffic, and I'm like, no, let me get this straight. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You moved here from Chicago, and now you're complaining about our traffic, but yet you've moved down here. Oh, okay, that doesn't make sense. So
that doesn't make sense at all.
You want to know the cause of the traffic, the real cause? Don't blame me. I was born and raised here. I'm not the cause of the traffic. Got it. It's one of those things. Yeah, both of us are Atlanta natives.
Yankees.
Yeah, you know, that's that old Southern saying that, you know, a Yankee comes down, visits, and leaves, and a damn Yankee comes down and stays. So you'll probably hear that when you come down south and have a good time.
I probably will. Yeah. I'm sure of it.
It's so funny. No, we're Pat's laughing in the background.
You're not from here, are you?
Yeah. We don't care how you did it up north. If it's so awesome, move back. You know?
Oh, my
70,
gosh.
75 runs both ways.
Oh.
We love you.
I know for a fact that Yeah, I know for a fact that they're bringing me down to Atlanta when I get back, because they've already told me that. So
you'll get down here and enjoy some of the Southern hospitality, the few that are left, and then the good Southern food, the true Southern food, some of the places that are down here. Maybe they'll take you to a nice good old Southern place. So to have some good Southern food, so that you got to try
it's
to do that.
Fried
so.
Food. It's really good fried.
Yes, there you
fried
go.
Fried.
We're like, exactly. We'll fry
well,
anything
it's okay,
because
I'm sure y'all have seen pictures of me, and I don't pass up the butter, not one bit. It's just the way it goes.
Gotta love it. Yeah, butter.
Butter's good for you. I don't pass up the butter either.
I don't pass up the butter.
Seen it. I've never tried it. I don't think. Maybe it was at one fair we went to on the tour, but they had a fried butter. They take a stick of butter, batter. Fried butter. We've all seen the fried Snickers, the fried Oreos, the fried, you know, that kind of stuff. And but yeah, I mean, you know, squash is so wonderfully healthy for us and so great. But you know what? Let's batter it up and fry it.
No, fried butter. We aren't going to do
fried,
that.
Fried squash, fried okra, fried... What else do we have? Fried eggplant.
We're not going to do that.
We went to a place last night that had fried sweet potatoes.
Fried.
They were round, weren't they? Kind of round, cut into rounds, and then like... Yeah, kind of like fried green tomatoes. They're cut into rounds and then fried sweet potato. I didn't have any fried food last night. I had the baked chicken and a vegetable plate and whatnot and a salad, but I refrained from the fried food last night. But I've got to watch my girly figure. Go ahead.
Yeah, watch your girly figure. I love fried sweet potato fries. I love them.
You know that, I don't know if you'll have Sonic up there. I've never tried them, but Sonic has a sweet potato tater tots. And so,
Ooh. Yeah,
I'm already kind of a tater tot fan. I try to limit it very, very much so. In fact, I haven't in months. But yeah, they've got sweet potato tots. And I'm always wanting to try them, but I'm like, nope, not going to do it.
It sounds wonderful. Really, it does. I ain't going to have to because I just love sweet potato fries.
You come down to the Sonic, try it out, sweet potato tater tots, and can you imagine dipping that in like a little cinnamon butter? The cinnamon butter tater tot. Oh my goodness! So now I'm gonna just have to go and go buy Sonic and try them just so I can say I tried them for the radio show.
Exactly.
It'll be strictly work related, strictly scientific related. I'll go in, I'll write it off on the taxes and say I've got to get the tater tots with a little cinnamon butter to try this strictly for research.
Yes. Just strictly research. That's what I say when I'm trying a different wine.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's strictly for research for the show. Because if I don't like it, how am I supposed to recommend it, right? I mean, really.
Yeah. That's 100% exactly right. That's 100%. So, that reminds me, speaking of trying things, to let people know about it, not tomorrow, tomorrow's Thursday, we are heading home, but this Friday I had to reschedule delivery. In fact, it's sitting in a UPS truck as we speak. Brency has a new line of chicken coops, and it's already on the truck. In fact, I had to cancel delivery because we weren't home. It will be delivered on Friday, so I'll be looking forward to that. Speaking of trying things out for research, so
awesome.
I'll be telling folks about that probably next week. Yes, tater tot research right here on Backyard Poultry.
Maybe we can get a government grant for that.
I think we should. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, why not? You know,
why not? They get a grant for testing ketchup.
And this, for those of you listening, this is all related because we talked about potatoes today, right, Pat? We talked about potatoes today, tater tots for potato. So this is 100% related to the show. We could do that research, Arlena and Pat. We could talk about, you know, the Yukon Gold and make tater tots. We could try the russet potato tater tots and the Idaho baked potato tater tots and the new potato tater tots and just see which one's more healthy for us, which one cooks better, which one's lighter, sweet potato tater tots. I think y'all are onto something here.
I think so. I'm really, really tater tot heaven. I think that's just really what it's all about.
Tater tot heaven. You know, that sounds, there you go. Okay, yes. That to me sounds like we need actually a roach coach that would pull up to a fair. You know, tater tot heaven, and then you go up and you get a little a cone shape thing full of tater tots with a little dipping sauce. There you go.
Yes.
Pat.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm speechless. Just speechless. Couldn't we have at least some broccoli in with it?
Hey, oh, let me ask you if you've done this. Arlena and Pat, last night at the restaurant, the lady we were having supper with, she said that this past week, she, you've got turnip greens, you've got collard greens, you've got mustard greens, you've got greens. And
right.
She actually made, just like you would make collard greens, mustard greens, or turnip greens, she took the leaf of the broccoli plant, not just the broccoli itself, like the head of it, which we all love and eat, but she took the leaves of the plant, which are often ignored, and prepared those as she would turnip greens or collard greens, and she said they were really, really good. So we always waste those leaves. We don't think about broccoli greens. So I'm going to try that next time we have some broccoli. I'll take the greens. I'll boil them down, put a little smoked rank meat, we call it, smoked ham hock in there, out of the broccoli greens. Yeah, so I'm gonna try that. She used it, and she said it was fabulous. So have you ever eaten the greens or the leaves of the broccoli?
Either absolutely, one? Absolutely.
Yeah, I have.
Yes,
I do.
I don't skin them. Everybody takes that skin off and takes those little leaves off and things like that. I just eat the whole thing. Yum, absolutely yum. Yep.
Yeah.
They're good.
They're good.
And on that, I think we should have another little sip of Naughty Girl wine. I think so.
Oh, my.
Got a question in the chat room. Are there any shows on cabbage coming up?
We can do a show on cabbage. Absolutely. That would be
so
a
much
fun show.
He eats greens of cabbage, too.
Yeah, cabbage.
Oh, yes.
Cabbage rolls.
Goodness. I love cabbage.
Cold slaw. I love a good cold slaw. I do love a good cold slaw.
Creamed cabbage, my friend out here, the Wisconsin people are big on creamed cabbage. You'd never think it. You'd think it was like a mashed potato, but it's creamed cabbage. Absolutely wonderful.
Cabbage soup. Hey, speaking of that, we being on the road as much as we are, we end up having to eat out. And did you know Ruby Tuesdays? I don't know if you have them, but Ruby Tuesdays has a mashed cauliflower. Isn't that what it is, Jen? It's mashed cauliflower, and I'm sure it's absolutely 100% not healthy for you, because when you eat it, it's actually good. Because I think what they do is they take some cauliflower, put it in a blender with about a stick of butter, a little bit of salt, blend it up, and then pour it on your plate like mashed potatoes.
Yes.
It looks like mashed potatoes, but it's cauliflower.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And it's
there
delicious,
it
but I think they add a little too much butter and salt to it. I think you have a healthier
version
that would still be good.
What did you say?
I said too much butter.
You said too much butter? I thought maybe it was a little blip in the system.
Yeah, too much
butter. Never too much butter.
What's her name, Jen, the cook down here? You know who I'm talking about, Jen? She got the restaurant in Savannah. Paula Deen.
Oh, I would just see. Now, that's one thing. You got to hook me up with Paula Deen when I come south, because I love Paula Deen. So when I come to South Atlanta, we're just going to hook it up and do some cooking. We have to.
Put a stick of butter between two donuts and just go with it.
Yeah,
not completely that bad, but yeah, we like our butter.
Bagels. Pumpernickel bagels.
Pumpernickel. If you're coming down here now, you're going to have to say it right. Pumpernickel. We talked about this on Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, pumpernickel.
Yeah. Pumpernickel. Fun to say, isn't it? One of those words.
We had a good show. We talked a lot about potatoes.
We did.
We talked a lot about drought and how to handle that. And we had some questions in the chat room. Now we're talking about cream cabbage. Yum. And cream cauliflower. Yum. What a great show. And we had Naughty Girl wine. What more did we want?
Tell us how we can become fans of yours, follow you, and get your stops on the tour.
Well, let me see. You can talk about me. Oh, can I? Oh, actually, you can go to gardenwiseliving.com or it's arlenagwise.com. I think I put that earlier. arlenagwise.com. And on the left-hand side, there is a menu, and you go all the way to the bottom, and there is a miniature and fairy garden, magical miniature garden tour. And it does have a calendar there that I'm going for my West Coast tour that I'm actually leaving Friday to be on.
Right. So you
can see that. And then eventually in June, I'll add the Michigan. And then when I go south to Atlanta, I'll add that, my southern part of the tour. So you can follow me on my website that way, or you can follow me on Facebook. It's either Arlena Schott on Facebook, S-C-H-O-T-T, or it's Garden Wise Living on Facebook. And on Twitter, I'm at Green Blessings, it's at Green Blessings. That's Twitter.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's LinkedIn, and there's the chicken, the backyard poultry with the chicken whisperer, and that's my favoriteest thing in the entire world.
Well, we appreciate that. And, of course, there's that awesome song that was sung by Elvis, you know, South to Atlanta, go south. The rush is on. South to Atlanta, go south, the rush is on. You know, Elvis sung that, you know that, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
I'm glad Elvis sang it.
Who sang that song again? One more time. Who sang that song? It wasn't you.
It was Elvis. Thank you very much. Thank you very
Elvis,
much.
Yeah,
Elvis.
Yeah, that was Elvis.
It was Elvis.
Was
thank you very much.
Yeah.
Gotta love it. Well, hey man, thanks so much for joining us. It's always so fun and to have you on the first and third Wednesday of every month, Garden Wise Living, and follow her on Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff, and go see her on tour. Tell her you heard about her on the Chicken Whisperer show and learn all about miniature gardens and miniature chicken coops and anything else. Just walk up to her and give her a big hug and say, I heard you on the Chicken Whisperer, and I have to ask you this question about sweet potato tots.
Right. And then my next show, I'll be on the road. So we'll be doing that hopefully from San Juan Capistrano at Annie Havens Ranch. I hope to be there on the 16th. If not, I'll be at one of these other wonderful places in California.
Okay. Well, I was just informed in the chat room that it wasn't Elvis that sung that. Are you sure?
It wasn't.
It wasn't? Okay.
Not Elvis. Oh, not Elvis. Yeah. Okay, we know it wasn't you, for sure.
It surely wasn't me. No, definitely not. And so,
well, thank you all for having
Johnny
me.
Johnny Horton. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you in a couple of
thanks
weeks. We've got
chicken
okay, trivia
wonderful
coming up.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty, we've got chicken trivia, Pat. We're going to go to commercial break, and we come back. We've got chicken trivia. We've got a trivia question that we're going to ask that you may have heard in the show today. So we're going to break for a short commercial break, and we come back. We got chicken trivia. Stay with us. You can win a great prize.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com.
That's IdealPoultry.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Of course, as always, every show we want to send a shout out to all the homeschoolers that listen to the show on a regular basis, to the incorporate the show with their curriculum, as well as all the over-the-road truck drivers that we hear from that listen to the show 24 hours a day on iTunes. Also want to send a special shout out to all the feed and seed stores that stream this radio show live in their stores from 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every day. Hope business is good for you out there as well. So we thank you very much for doing that. Pat, you are back live with us. And I need you to pick a winning number caller.
Okay, let's go with number seven.
Lucky number seven today for the Wear Manufacturing 24-inch galvanized metal feeder. Again, Wear Manufacturing 24-inch galvanized metal feeder. Today during the show, we talked about a specific type of irrigation. And I had questioned Arlena about the depth of moisture using this type of irrigation. It's very popular. Pat likes to use it, it's a lot of times you put the lines right along the ground, and that's how you irrigate with this particular type of irrigation. If you can tell me that type of irrigation we're describing, 347-637-3237. And caller number seven, you'll be the winner of this awesome 24-inch galvanized metal water from Wear Manufacturing. Wear Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Wear manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Wear offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Wear Manufacturing. All righty, 347-637-3237, 347-637-3237, and who can tell me what type of irrigation we're talking about? If you haven't won anything from Wear Manufacturing in the last 30 days, you're eligible for this contest, and so just give us a call now to see if you're lucky caller number seven. Pat, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do. I use it. I know exactly what you're talking about. In fact, I needed to get another one today because I'm tending my garden.
Very, very good. Yeah, very good. I got a little bit of work to take care of after the show, as always, and then I think I may take the old family bowling here later. I may wait until a little bit closer to maybe go bowling and then head out to supper before we come back to the room, just to get some kind of exercise instead of sitting in the room all day. We went for a little walk yesterday, got some pictures of Caleb by the lake and along the nature trail. So very good. And so Midnight says, darn, I listened to the whole show so I could win, but I don't remember. So, Yeah, 347-638. You can always take a guess. It doesn't hurt to guess. Call number seven.
Yeah.
And you're wrong. Not a big deal at all. I mean, the worst that could possibly happen is you give us the wrong answer and you get buzzed. So hey, not a big deal. Doesn't hurt to try. You just might be right.
Absolutely.
You never know. You never know. All righty, let's go to caller number seven here, Pat, and we'll hopefully give this prize away, and then we'll be back tomorrow. So here we go. All righty, caller number lucky seven from area code 251. 251, you're on the air with Andy and Pat. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hey, my name is Jared Brothers. I'm calling from Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile, Alabama. Thanks, Colin. Mobile, and appreciate you listening today. It's kind of a crazy show. We went all over the place, but it often is when you got a guest host that drinks a bottle of wine every show. But we got a good time with Arlene. We love to have her on the first and third Wednesday. So what type of irrigation were we talking about?
Drip irrigation.
Drip irrigation. That's 100%. I've often thought about using it around blueberries and some of our raspberries and things like that. Not for my big garden because, you know, I got the tractor and I till, and it's hard enough worrying about hitting the underground irrigation that I've got there, let alone, you know, bringing in all the drip lines and then spreading them back out and things like that. So you're 100% correct. It is drip irrigation. And see, I told you in the chat room you should have called. In fact, Midnight's was like, I listened, but I didn't know what it was. And I want to say drip, but I'm probably wrong. So you would have got it right, Midnight's. So I tried to encourage you to call. So, hey, congratulations from Mobile, Alabama. To claim your prize, just send me an email. That's all you got to do. chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net sometime after this afternoon. chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. And in the subject line, if you'll put trough feeder, that'll be just fine, or metal feeder will be fine. And in the email, I need your name, your shipping address, your phone number, and your email address. And so I'll send that over to Heather at Ware Manufacturing. She'll get that out to you. And New Dawn Farm Girl said she knew it. She was on hold. Dang it. She was hoping to win. And so, and Midnight, yes, you were right. You were right. You should have called in. I tried to encourage you to do it. So how about that? It is drip irrigation. Well, thanks, folks, for listening and tuning in to another great show, Garden Wise Living with Arlena, talking about different types of potatoes and dealing with drought. And so we talked about that today. No show tomorrow. We will actually be on the road back to the homestead, thank goodness. But we will be live this Friday. This Friday's radio show will be exciting. We actually will have some prizes to give away, but we have a huge prize package to give away for our Chicken Coops for Classrooms contest. Fertile hatching eggs, incubator, brooder, chicken coop, a bunch of educational books, and we're going to call the school that's won that this Friday live on the radio show. So you're not going to want to miss that whatsoever. So that'll be this Friday, getting geared up for another awesome weekend. So thanks for tuning in, folks, and we'll see you all here Friday at noon, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. Pat, take it away.
Okay. Well, Arlena Schott was our special guest today with Garden Wise Living with Arlena. And my goodness, we talked about potatoes and irrigation and learned so much. You can see her website at gardenwiseliving.com, gardenwiseliving.com. Of course, thanks to all our chat room chicken ears and all our listeners for tuning in and clicking along. And, of course, blogtalkradio.com provides the radio, the chat, and the video services. Andy Schneider, the Chicken Whisperer, and, of course, the creator of this show and the wind beneath our wings so we can go on all these tours and fly so far. I'm Pat Foreman, and from all of us, absolutely all of us, may the flock be with you. Quoth the chicken evermore. God bless everybody. Oh.